Okay, I don't think I can say it any better than that. So good night. Teasing. This is way out of my comfort zone. That doesn't help. Brother Steve and I wanted to present a table talk conversation. The last barstools I remember Pastor having were round and brass and maybe set up a little higher. Or is that my imagination? My imagination? Okay. Well, anyway, this is it. We've been doing a book called Real. And Real is relevant, engaging, authentic life. And that's what we want to share tonight. We're going to kind of share in this. I'm going to take the first part, get it off of me, and give it to him. So I'm going to start off with relevant fishermen. And I want to take a text from Matthew, the 4th chapter, starting with the 18th verse. And I'm just going to read it. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their fathers and followed him." Now, I want to come back to that in a minute, but I first want to tell you, I believe that Jesus looked at fishermen and he saw a skill set that was going to be important for catching fish, the fish of men. And if you were to look on in John a little further down, I think that literally there were 7 of the 12 disciples that were in fact fishermen. That's up for discussion, but, I mean, you can read it for yourself. But let's talk about the skill set that those fishermen have. The first thing a fisherman does is put bait on their hook. I mean, can you imagine going fishing with a fishing pole and a hook and dropping in the water and waiting and waiting and waiting? You're not going to catch any fish. But, you know, you might say, what do you mean by bait your hook? Well, I mean this, a good story. What's God done for you? He does something so awesome for me every day. You've all heard my story. 20 years ago, he picked me up from the deepest, darkest place. And I'm telling you, every day for 20 years, I have lived through his new mercies. I don't want to be a crybaby.
All right.
Okay.
We'll cry with you.
Okay. So, the Bible says in Psalms, the 34 and 8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good."
Yes.
He is so good.
Yes.
And we don't tell it enough. We go all kinds of places. We talk about all kinds of things. You know, we go into the office, we go to our workplace, we're complaining about the boss, we're talking about this and that. But we rarely take time to say, man, Brother Steve, you know what he did this morning? He visited me, I was having coffee, and he visited me. And those are the kinds of things, you may not know it, the whole world wants to hear. I don't care what they're saying, they really want to know God. And they want to know people who know God. I don't know why we don't share that more often, but we don't. We go through and we keep our mouth shut and we keep our head down and we don't tell. We don't want to offend. And it's just a lie. I want to clear that up. It's a lie. Everybody wants to know what we know. The next thing, a skill of a fisherman, is put your hook in the water. You know, sometimes we don't bother to get around the right people and say, you know, if we're just fishing inside the church, church, we're really not going to catch anything. sometimes, people might say, well, you know what? I don't have the same kind of story you have. You know, you were in the drugs and alcohol, promiscuous living, and God picked you up, and it was supernatural. It was a move of God. But you know something? The same grace that pulled me out may have kept you from ever going in.
Right.
And that's good. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good. Never undermine your story. So I kind of jumped ahead of myself. If you don't know how to tell your story, you know, you need to take this to the next level. I want to put it right there. You need to get in a class. You need to say, you know what, I really have a desire to go fishing, be a fisher's of men, but I don't really know how to tell my story. You need to talk to us.
Yeah.
We want to grow in this.
Yes.
We are in a place we've got to grow in this.
Yes.
So the next thing, and I kind of jumped ahead of myself, where are you putting your hook? Where are you putting your bait?
There you go.
Because if you're only fishing in the swimming pool of the church, I'm not saying it's not good to testify, but we're caught fishing here. We're in the cleaning process in here. We need to take our story out to where the water is, where the fish are, and we need to be taking it by force. We need to, you know, take those stories that we want to blab about, whatever, and make it really count. And I just want to pop back to that last scripture because it spoke to me. And it's that Matthew 4, and it's that 22nd verse, and it says, and they immediately left the ship of their father, and they followed him. I just wanted to tell you, I think Holy Spirit was speaking something so crucial, so important, that there is a sense of urgency. If you don't get out and start doing this right now, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose it. So he wants you to see that right now. When do you start? Right now. When you go to a restaurant? Right now. When you go to the Walmart? Right now. Right now.
Yeah.
We at Trinity Pentecostal Church need to get a sense of urgency. We've been given this window. We don't know how long. We don't know what's happening. We've got to get this sense of urgency. If it's not now, I don't know when it'll be.
Exactly.
And my next point I want to make is engaging influences. We must engage and understand that God gives us influence to influence those around us in a godly way. And I have a little scripture here I want to read for this as well. And this is Matthew 5:13-16. And we've all read this. You are the salt of the earth, and if the salt has lost its savor, and I just want to say that word savor, if you read that in the Greek, it would transcribe like this, translate like this, become foolish. Okay? If your salt becomes foolish, wherewith shall you be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men.
Right.
I mean, you know what they do with bad salt? They throw it on the ground, literally, to kill the grass from growing. Okay, I'm going to bring it back. You're the salt of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all the house.
Yes.
Let your light so shine before men that you may see the good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Mm-hmm. We've heard that all of our life.
Yeah.
All of our life we've heard, you know, don't hide your light under a bushel.
Right.
But yet we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it. And I'm not even going to tell you all the good things about the salt. It's been, several months ago, you taught about assault covenant. Did they, you teach about assault covenant?
It's 7 months ago.
Yeah, but it's still here. But we know the importance of that. If you want to read that up, I'll give you the scripture. Go home and read about it. Leviticus 2:3, Numbers 18 and 19. But there's something about salt. We could do the math, how much each salt we each have on us. I'm not going to, but I can tell you roughly, I've got about 70 spoonfuls in me. But the thing is this. We are salt. We are salt. And the Bible even talks about the best salt is near the rock. The very best, the further away from the rock, I mean, there's some good stuff about salt. But I just want to make 2 points about this. First, we are the salt. And unless we start talking about and influencing people, we're going to lose it. The things that salt does, okay, preserves. If you put it in your swimming pool, it cleans. Some people use that instead of chlorine. Let's face it, salt makes things taste better. Have you ever had fries without salt?
Good.
I don't like it either. I mean, we should be making God taste better.
Yeah.
We should be making Christianity taste better. And sometimes we just take our Bible and we just start whacking people.
Yeah.
We just whack them around. We're not making anybody taste better like that.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not palatable.
Right.
We need to love them. We need to love them. And so the second point I want to make is you are the light. We're the light. John 9 and 12, 8 and 12 and 9 and 5, Jesus is telling us he's the light of the world. But by the time he gets to John 12 and he's beginning to prepare his disciples, I'm getting ready to leave this world. He's beginning to take them down the road of what's going to happen to them. They're not really hearing it, but he's trying to say, I'm the light, but I'm getting ready to be taken out, so you're going to be the light of the world.
Yeah.
And we failed. We failed. We haven't been the light. And if you don't know it, look at 2020. It's like Satan took the dimmer switch and began to turn it down deeper. And it's dark. We're in the darkest period of my life right now. And the church, we've got a lot of light in here. But when we walk out, it's as if we flip the lights off and we walk out the door. And we don't bring them back on and turn them back on till Wednesday night. And then we'll shut them down. And then Sunday morning, we'll come in here and flip them back on.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. It can't work. We have to move forward in this be the light. It's so important that we get on the city council. We get a part of the school board. We become part of the decision makers because darkness has made decisions in our government, in our world, in our society that we didn't choose. But we sat here and blessed God waiting for the rapture. And we're failing the world. There's a world that's waiting for us to go and be the light. And we haven't done it.
Lord, I've seen a deal where they were saying about the end time church. I know somebody that drinks a lot of coffee. Brother Chris, I've seen that he talked about coffee a lot. And Brother Chris, he's like an experienced coffee drinker. Well, he's not gonna drink decaf. Is that right, Brother Chris? No way. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
But that's the way the church is today.
Right.
It's a decaffeinated version of what the end time church is supposed to be.
Yeah.
We got to step up.
Yes.
And be the real thing.
Absolutely.
Not the decaffeinated
version. Absolutely. So when I think about the things I have, without a doubt, I believe God spoke to people in our church, not just our church, the church, innovative, witty, inventions, ideas. Without a doubt, I believe he was speaking to the church about social media. But we sat here, sounds like a good idea, but you know what? I think Jesus is coming next year, and I don't think we've got to worry about it. We have let opportunity after opportunity, when he begins to speak to us, and we're praying for the wisdom of God, we have all the answers. We have all the right answers if we're seeking God and looking for the wisdom of God. You know, yes, they took prayer out of our schools. That's right. But we still have Christians in our schools. Young people, every time you walk into the school, the light has come in. And you kind of get this boldness about where I go. The light just came into the room. And I've been in jobs myself, and I'm sure everybody has, where I remember going home and saying, Lord, you gave me this job, but look at it. I'm the only believer here. But that's on purpose, because the light needed to come to the job. And you may, each one of you, be in a situation where you might need to stop, look around and say, why am I here? Oh, wait. God gave me this. God planted me here. Come on, light. I've got to put something into this situation that they're waiting for. When I worked for Pascal, I went in there as a drunk. I was hired in as a drunk. But somewhere, I got delivered. And God used me. I mean, he used me in such a way. I remember praying with sweaty carpenters after work, or them calling me and saying, I don't know God. Will you talk to me? God uses whoever will be the light. You know, he's just faithful. So if you think God put you in a job to make you money or to provide for your needs, I want to tell you, he could let the ravens do that. He put you there to be the light.
That's good.
Be the light.
Is that it?
Except, well, I don't know. I think I'm going to do this, Brother Steve.
Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah. I know what you're going to do.
Do you?
Good point.
I've listened to everybody. I've listened to everybody have a conversation about what's on the row in the plastic cups. I've listened to a lot of fishing stories. Go ahead and get those cups. Take one out. They're fishing ways. Go on. You're going to say, I know. You were talking about fishermen. We are fishers of men. Take one, pass it to your neighbor. You want us to be fishers of men, but this is what I want to say to you. Most of you have opportunity to share your story, to share your faith, and you come back and say, well, I wanted to, but I didn't feel led. And the next time you have an opportunity, pull that weight out. Go ahead and feel the lead.
Everybody pick it up.
feel the lead.
Everybody pick it up. Every person. Every person that's got a weight, pick it up.
Yeah.
There you go.
And go ahead and share your faith.
Amen. Because now you're led.
You're led.
You feel it?
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Go Steve. All right. I might do things just a little bit different. I've got a little bit of preacher in me. I'm going to try to stay right here if I can. But I've got so much to be thankful for. My goodness, God has done so much in my life. How can I keep my mouth shut? I want to ask you about the same thing in your life. How can you keep your mouth shut after what God has done in your life?
Yeah.
There's no way you can keep that mouth shut. If you love people, that was on the video, that's what it said. You know, that's the real problem. People will not talk. Mm-hmm. You are firsthand witness to what God has done in your life. You sure are. How many people in here are saved? I want to get everybody involved in this. You can't not raise your hand. If you're saved in here, I want to see your hand. Everybody, I think every person I see in here has been saved. So what that tells me is that you are a witness.
Yeah.
You are a firsthand witness. You are an authentic witness to what God has done in your life.
Yeah.
You were there when you come to this altar and you got saved. You were there when your cupboards were bare and there was no one there, but you went and prayed and God turned it around. See, now you are a witness. You are a firsthand witness to what God has done in your life. I can tell you, 19 years ago, Sister Lori said hers was 20. Mine was 19 years ago. Jesus Christ set me free from doing drugs, doing the things that there was no reason for Jesus to come to me other than he loved me. And I don't even know why, but he came to me. There was nothing that changed in my life except for Jesus. When Jesus came to my life changed. And all I did was do what he said to do. My life changed. There is no other answer to that. I'm firsthand witness. I'm an authentic witness to what God has done in my life. No one can say any different. Not one person in here can argue that point. I was there. I know what he did inside my life. I know the love that he placed in my heart. I've got to share it.
Yeah.
I've got to. I want to be very humble about it, because I want you to think any other way other than I just want to be humble about it. I was thinking about myself, and I remember the first time that, you know, when God began to move with me, when I first got saved, I remember by reading his word and trying to be obedient to him, I knew I had to get out of my pew and outside these doors and begin to talk to people. That was one of the first things that I knew I had to do. There's no difference between me and you. I can be self-insecure with myself. I sure can. I'm a kind of person that would rather stick his head in the sand, Sister Lori, than talk to anybody. And if you think that any different, you don't know me. But you don't know what God has done in my life. All I know to do now is to hit it head first. Just go at it. And that's what I do. That's all I know. When I come, if I preach, all I know to do is just get it head on.
Yeah.
Within me, I can't do it. But with God, I can.
Yes.
Same way as with being a witness. But there's got to be some love inside you for other people. I want to tell you something. There's 180,000 people every day that fall into hell or die. And I can just say 180,000 people die a day in this world. I wonder how many of those people don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Yeah, think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe half? I bet it's less than that. I bet it's less than half know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and has a true relationship with the Lord. That he knows their name and they know his name. A true relationship.
Right.
So if all those people are ending up in hell, I want to tell you something. The start gun went off 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
You don't. If it starts today, you feel led because you got the led weight. God has already led you.
Yeah.
If you're here tonight, you're here for a purpose. We are on the last run, I can guarantee you. I feel like we are.
Yes.
I think Jesus wants us to feel that we are. If it isn't, we don't know the day or time or hour.
That's right.
But we know it's close.
We know it's close.
We're on the last push. I heard the pastor say that. We are on the last push. You've got to open up your mouth to make a difference.
Yeah.
You've got to. You can't sit back and say, no, I'm not led. I don't feel it today. I'm not led to speak to anybody. I want to take you to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. I want to take you there. And this ain't my word. This is God's word. I don't have the scripture yet because I didn't know I was going to use it until I just said it. Matthew 16, or Mark 16, verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." I want to know right now, is there anybody exempt in that? That's not for Brother Mike or just for me or Sister Lori. He said, he didn't put a person in that. He's talking to you. He's talking to each and every person in this room. You have no excuse. The Bible said there is no excuse to not know the Godhead. There is no excuse. You cannot use that excuse anymore. You are a fisherman.
Yes, you are. Yes.
That's what Sister Lori just said. Mm-hmm. What is a disciple? Someone that follows God. That's what we are. A follower of Jesus Christ. That's what you are. You cannot keep your mouth shut any longer. If you would lead one person to the Lord, we would double in size in one day.
Right.
Or in the kingdom of God, anyway. Can you imagine if you just led one person? And why I want to say that right there, one person. One year, when I first got saved, God opened the door for me to go do jail ministry. I've been doing jail ministry for right at 15 years. My first year, I remember one time going to the jail. You know, I've heard it so many times, somebody come and say, "Steve, why are you going to that jail? You ain't doing no good." No. If I did that, if I believed that, I wouldn't go either. You need to open your mouth and tell your testimony. This is what he said. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." He's talking to you. I remember the first year I went into the jail. I remember one specific service. On the way there, God, it was me and another guy. We were like a team. But on the way there, God had kind of gave him, he carried a songbook with him, and he would sing some songs. On the way there, God gave him a song out of that songbook. He didn't know how to sing it, but he gave him the words, gave him the lyrics, everything with it, and he knew how to sing it. By the time we were there, we had been praying, been fasting, seeking God. And by the time we left there, there was 18 men that got saved in one night. 18 men. And some would say, No, that half those guys wouldn't even stick with it. That's what a lot of people would try to say. If I believed that, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't even win. No, I don't believe that. I won't let people say that to me. If I tried to believe that, I wouldn't go either. One year we wrote down, and I only did this one year. One year, I wrote down everybody's name as we led them to the Lord. 380 men in one year. One year. And that's just from this white guy from 524 Park Street in Westfield. I'm just one white guy. We didn't grow up with a silver spoon in our in our mouths. I just heard the good story about Jesus. And I had to share it. 386 men were saved 1 year. We've been doing it for 15 years. I've seen a lot of men saved. I sure have. And I want to display to you one time, right here. I've got some cards here, and do an illustration for you. Not only do I do that in the jail, but I love to talk to people out on the street. I love to talk to them. I've had the opportunity to lead a lot of people to the Lord with these cards. And these are these cards right here. And I've got some different ones, but I got these two cards right here. I want to illustrate to you these cards. When I listened to that guy that did that video right there, and it fired me plumb up. Right there's good, brother. Right there. It fired me plumb up. I knew I had to do something. I needed a bait. I needed something to break the water with people. And I looked at these cards and I thought, man, I can do that. I'm just a simple guy. I can do that. So I took these cards right here and I began to use them. And I want to illustrate to you. This is something that works for me. You might be able to take that. A guy showed me this just like I'm showing you. And I got a hold of that and I applied it to my life and I began to use them. And I've seen a lot of people saved. I've been to ball games. I've been to track meets all over the place. And God will lead me and I'll pull these cards out. And I'll use them. And I cannot believe how many times people have been saved through it. It's unreal. But Brother Corey, I want to demonstrate these cards right here. I want you to look at it. Which one of these is bigger? Orange. How about you all? You see that? I'll just witness to all of y'all. Which one of these cards are bigger? Brother Corey said the orange one. What if I switch them around? Which one's bigger than that?
Still the orange.
Well, right there. See, I've opened up a door for me to be able to speak to Brother Corey because, look, they're both the same size. It's an optical illusion. It's like magic. I'm not trying to spread magic. I'm just saying it's kind of like a magic trick. And people love to see magic tricks. They love to see them. Well, Brother Corey, since we're talking about optical illusions. How about if I gave you $10 million for one of your eyes? Would you take it? Well, at least you thought about it for a little bit. Okay, say I gave you $5 million for one of your arms. Would you take it?
Maybe take my left arm.
We'll get a saw and cut it off right now. We'll do it. $5 million. That's a lot of money. How about one of your legs? I give you $100 million for one of your legs right now. We'll cut that dude off, get a saw. You can hobble out of here, but we'll give you $100 million for one of your legs.
A pretty nice wheelchair for that.
Yeah. At least think about it. How about, you know, since we talked about your eyes, how about if I gave you $200 million for both your eyes? Would you take it?
No.
You wouldn't do it. You know, the Bible says that your eyes are just a window to your soul. So your eyes really don't mean anything. Brother Corey, how about if I gave you $500 million? You live your life just the way you are, but when you die, you had to go to heaven. Would you take it for $500 million? That's worth a lot. $500 million is a lot. So then you value your salvation.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what it takes to be saved?
Sir,
right there. You see, you've just opened a door for someone to be saved right there. And I can always, with a little bit of anointing, a little bit of prayer, a little bit of seeking after God, right there is an opportunity for you with an open door that the anointing of God, because you can't do anything.
Right.
God can do it.
Yes.
God is the one that saves people, not us. But it's a prop. It's us being the fishers of men. Amen. When I cast out my bait to Brother Corey, I have an opportunity. Even if he is saved, I can tell him, look, Brother Corey, let me pray with you that God continues to move in your life. I have an opportunity to sow a seed in his life, an opportunity to witness to him, maybe even lead him to the Lord at this moment.
Amen.
And I can promise you it works. It can work for me. Some simple guy from 524 Park Street in Westville, it'll work for you as well, because a lot of you are a lot more smarter than I am. Thank you, Brother Corbett. Appreciate it. What it is just being an authentic witness. Authentic witness. Someone that has been there and done that. I want to.
Brother Steve, does anybody ever ask you, well, what about the dinosaurs? Where did they come into play?
I think we need to stay away from that. You know, sinners are sinners. Sinners, you know, it's crazy that we think it's a good idea to stay away from that. I'll tell you what happened to the dinosaurs. They didn't have coffee. That's what happened to them. They died because they didn't have coffee, Brother Chris. That's what happened to them. That's the explanation.
What if somebody wants to debate your politics?
I wouldn't debate that.
Good.
Especially if they love if they love Biden, I definitely wouldn't debate that with them.
So what you're Somebody saying? Get mad. So what you're saying? You're just going to be a witness and not discuss all that other.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's the
See
best
how
thing
easy
to do.
That is. Good.
Absolutely. And I got some different cards that I use, and those cards have been really good for me. But they break the ice. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
To be able to, and you need to find. Because you know what? It's your responsibility to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You've got to find your icebreaker.
Yeah.
You got to.
Yes.
Hey, there's too much of God for you to just sit still and do nothing.
Yeah.
You've got to go and make a difference.
Sure.
Brother Corey, we got to make a difference.
Yes.
We got to. We're called to do that. We're empowered to do that. He has gave you the power to do that. To become fishers of men. God wants that more than you want it. You know, I really think that there's a problem we have in the church. And I think it's throughout the whole church. We're all wanting more of God. But we ain't doing nothing with what we got. Why would God give you more of Him if you don't do nothing with it?
Good stuff.
Why would He do that? He's not into just building you up and setting you up on a rock and displaying you to be, whoa, look at him. No. He empowers you to be a witness.
Yes.
Exactly.
To be an authentic witness. You were there when you got saved. You know, are you going to be a person to talk about that? Or are you going to keep your mouth shut?
Come on.
Are you just going to be quiet about it? You've got to tell somebody about what God's done for you.
Yes.
If you come to this altar and you got up changed and you got up saved and you know when you walked away from here that your sins were forgiven, that's a miracle and people need to hear about it.
Yes.
They need to know how God has sustained you through your job. Like me, how God has sustained me even through a divorce that I had went through. That's my testimony. I thought it was going to crush me.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I was going to make it through. But with people in the church and me praying and seeking after God, He pulled me through. I heard one man say, He'd bring you through a knothole if you let it.
Yeah.
And He sure did. Mm-hmm. And only Jesus.
Only Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus and Him alone. I have a testimony.
Yeah.
So do you.
Yes, sir.
And people need to hear your authentic testimony.
Right.
What He has done for you. You know, if you tell somebody else's testimony, if you went to court and you was telling your testimony, but you were telling it from what you heard from somebody else, they would dismiss that. It's called indismissible evidence. They would throw that out of court. People want to hear your testimony.
Yeah.
What you have to say.
Yeah.
How God has delivered you. You know what? No one can argue with
it. Yeah.
They may try, but they can't. You were there. And people need to hear that. That makes you a witness.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't do it, ain't nobody else going to. If you don't witness to somebody, there ain't nobody else going to. I remember when I got saved, I was living in a one-bedroom apartment in Spring Hill, Arkansas. No one had, I think everybody around me was scared to even talk to me. Which there was probably a good reason. My mom, she wouldn't even talk to me. She didn't like me. She loved me. She didn't like me. But why would Jesus come and give me this opportunity? Why? Because he was going to make me a fisher of men. But it's the same way with you in your life. There ain't nothing special about me, Pastor Mike, except for Jesus. I'm no different than anybody else in here. Yeah, he set me free. I've got a testimony. I'm very proud of that testimony, what God's done.
Yeah.
But you do too.
Right.
You do too. And you need to start sharing. You sure do. That makes you an authentic witness. One more. It's life-giving farmers. What Sister Lori did was the R. It's called REAL. It's an acronym for REAL. The R, the E. Now, I just did the authentic witness, and the L is life-giving farmers. And life-giving farmers is a little bit different. You know, he's made you an ambassador for Christ. That's the highest ranking officer for his kingdom. That's you. There ain't not one person in here left out of that. No, you are an ambassador. So you go as an ambassador, you go to a foreign land and you represent the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
That's what you're doing. Not one person in here is not left out. You are an ambassador. Matter of fact, you don't belong to yourself.
That's good.
You are bought with a price. You belong to God.
Yes, sir.
Romans 12:1 says that I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service.
Yes.
You belong to God. And this is what he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's you. The big old finger is pointing right at you. You can't scoot out of your seat and get away from it. That's you. And you need to find a way to do it.
Yeah.
I believe with a little bit of prayer, I believe God will open up the door to tell your testimony.
Yes.
No one knows it any better than you. Amen. But life-giving farmers, what they are is people that go and they plant a seed. Sometimes when you go to the jail, not everybody in that jail are going to get saved. And some give their heart to the Lord, and maybe next week they walk away.
Yeah.
That's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I still planted the seed.
Planted the seed, yes, sir.
That's what's important. It is not everybody that you talk to are going to get saved.
That's right.
Some people you talk to are already saved, and you just need to encourage them. They need to hear your testimony. But life-giving farmers, they go and they plant seeds.
Right.
You've got to start planting. If you do not plant, how will you ever reap a harvest?
Yeah.
The Bible said that the harvest is white. It is ready,
yes, sir,
to be harvested.
Yes.
People everywhere are looking for hope.
Yes.
And they need to hear your testimony. It's your opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. You've got to plant the seeds. Not every time are they're going to get saved. But you plant that seed. The Bible says, you know, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Amen? You've got to start planting. If you want to reap a harvest, you've got to start planting. And if you'll start planting, you'll see a harvest. If you don't plant, that's like a farmer going and going to the field and planting wheat. But he was expecting corn. I don't know about about you, but I have a heart for people to be saved.
Yeah.
And you should too.
Yes, sir.
People, 180,000 people dying a day. We got to get our story out.
Amen.
You got to plant a seed. If you don't plant that seed, ain't nobody else going to. You got to do it. It's your seed to plant. But if you don't plant, how are you gonna reap the harvest? It's time. And I was looking at that earlier. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13 that it is high time that you awake out of sleep, out of your slumber.
Yes, sir.
It's high time we awaken.
Yes, sir. Awaken.
We got to open our eyes and share the gospel. Share the gospel. If you like, I like to, every chance I get, I'm going to share the gospel. If I'm at a restaurant, or I'm at a store, I'm going to share the gospel. Some would probably call me a holy roller. But I know I have a heart to see people saved. I've led people right in the middle of the restaurant to the Lord. Because I sowed. Because I tell my story. Hey, 19 years ago, I used to be a drug dealer. But today, now I'm a chaplain. Some way, somehow, God has made me a chaplain in the jail. And I preach the gospel. It's that simple.
Yes.
I plant my seed everywhere I can. And if you'll plant, you'll get a harvest. I've had people come to me. I was at the Dogwood Festival. And I had just walked up to a guy. I had my cards out because I like to use those cards. They work for me. And I looked at him and I said, "Do you know Jesus? He loves you." And he started crying on the spot. He said, "I need to get saved." I didn't do anything. I just told him Jesus loves him. You know, I reaped a soul that I hadn't even planted. But the Bible said, you know, the ones that plant, the ones that sow, they're like one. And if you'll plant, you'll reap. We are on the last bush. You've got to start planting seeds.
I believe that.
You can start today.
Yes.
You start today. Sharing the gospel. You sure can. Step out of that comfort zone. It's time to awaken. Step out of that comfort zone and tell your story. You know, I was thinking about Brother Johnny Moore. I want to tell you the story about how I met him. Most people probably don't know how I met Brother Johnny. Brother Johnny, will you come down? Can you? Brother Johnny, stop right there, Brother Johnny. Brother Johnny, if it's all right. I was at a Goodwill here in Siloam. I don't even know why I went to Goodwill. I don't even like that place. I'm not a flea market type of person. I mean, I'll try to do it a little bit, but I went to this flea market. I knew I needed to go there. Just had a little hunch. I needed to go. And I went to that flea market. And I walked around in there. And I seen Brother Johnny going through the aisles. And obviously he likes that kind of stuff because he's really shopping. I don't even know what I was doing. I was just in there. But Brother Johnny was going through stuff. And as I walked by him, I was like, man, I feel like I needed to talk to him. So I just kind of went on my own way. And I just kind of fought with God a little bit. And I'm like, you know, all right, God, maybe you want me to talk to him. I don't know. I should have felt the lead weight maybe a little sooner. But anyway, as I walked out the door, I'm like, I was leaving something behind. I knew I needed to talk to him. And I said, okay, God, Brother Mike, that's what I told God. I said, look, if you want me to talk to him, I'm in my truck. And I said, God, if you want me to talk to this man, have him, if you want me to talk to him, let his car be right here beside me. Let it be right here beside me. That he'll walk right here and I'll talk to him. And as he come out the store, I seen him looking right at me. I knew what was fixing to happen. His truck was parked right beside me. I couldn't believe it. I was like, my goodness. Okay. So I just stepped out in faith and I began to share with Brother Johnny. And I'd like to, if he might want to say something, he could. But, you know, Brother Johnny, What I did, I didn't lead him to the Lord. He'd already been saved. But maybe he wasn't going to church anywhere. But I planted a seed in him. And now he's faithful to this church.
Amen.
Pastor Mike.
Yeah.
Him and his wife both come.
Yeah.
Now his grandkids are being affected.
Yeah.
Now people all around him. He's got a store.
Yeah.
Yes.
He can share the gospel now. He can start planting seeds.
Yeah.
You see how the gospel does? If you'll plant a seed, things can absolutely blow up like that right there. If you plant a seed in Brother Johnny, see it's come. It's we've reaped it now. Brother Johnny is getting closer to the Lord. Amen, Brother Johnny. You're a witness of that. Amen. I appreciate it, Brother Johnny. Okay. Yeah. And it's nothing. It's nothing about me. I didn't even really want to do it. I just knew God was dealing with me to do it. But a lot of times we wait for God to speak to us before I even witness. I want to share something with you. If somebody comes to you and talks to you first, it's a pretty good opportunity for you to break out your cards, break out your icebreaker, and talk to them about Jesus. I want you to recognize that. As you're praying and you're seeking God, if they come to you first and they speak to you before you speak to them, it's probably an opportunity. I want you to take notice of that in your own life. Someone talks to you first, share the gospel.
Yes.
See what God will do. God will do great things. And there's one more story here that I wanted to talk to you about. This guy, we're talking about reaping and sowing. If you plant an apple seed, do you receive one apple in your return? No. You get a tree with many more apple seeds. God has designed his economy so that we always reap more than we sow. Johnny Appleseed Chapman traveled across North America 50 years planting apple seeds. He was also an adamant Christian who shared his faith everywhere he went. He was responsible for more Native Americans coming to Christ than anybody ever. He did that for 50 years, planting apple seeds. I thought that was an awesome story. Here's another one. Talking about planting seeds. Edward Kimball, he was a Sunday school teacher. How many in here are Sunday school teachers? Really, lift it up a little bit. All right, let's see. We got 3, 4, 5. So Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who witnessed to a shoe salesman named Dwight L. Moody. You probably heard that name before. Moody accepted Christ, and he became a preacher who helped to win thousands to the Lord. Frederick B. Meyer heard the gospel from Moody, accepted Christ, and became an evangelist. Meyer preached the gospel, and Wilbur Chapman accepted Christ. Chapman ministered to a baseball player named Billy Sunday, who came to Christ. Sunday held a large crusade. He became an evangelist, Billy Sunday did. He held a large crusade in North Carolina, where thousands and hundreds of people got saved. He was invited back the second night, but he could not go. Billy Sunday sent Mordecai Ham to preach the second night at North Carolina Crusade. Not many people came, though, and one little boy accepted Christ. The young boy's, it's going to be hard to say, the young boy's name was Billy Graham. He went on to become one of the greatest evangelists ever known to man. See how it starts? By you planting a seed, you don't know what's going to happen. By me planting a seed in Brother Johnny, it's affected his wife. It's affected his whole family. It's affecting his grandkids. He has a flea market. Who knows what's going to happen? That's the same way with you. I hope that fires you up to plant a seed. Tell somebody about your story. Tell somebody about what God has done for you in your life. You know, why would God give you more if you don't do something with your testimony? If you want more, share your faith. If we'll share our faith, maybe God would let us lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Amen? See the blind, their eyes come back in their head again. We used to hear it all the time. I've heard testimonies of evangelists going to Honduras and laying hands on the sick, or someone that was blind and eyeballs begin to grow right back in their head. We need that testimony again. But we need to share our faith. God will empower us if we do. One more thing. All those people that came to Christ become because of a Sunday school teacher shared his story of God's goodness with a shoe salesman. How many seeds have you planted in water? When we share our faith, hundreds of thousands of people could be saved. The only way we can fail is to keep the gospel to ourselves. As we obediently plant in water, we can accept and reap a harvest greater than we've ever imagined. You know, if the gospel stops at your house and it doesn't go outside your doors, I hate to tell you, it's failing. That's not what God intended.
No.
It didn't intend to stop with your own family. It intended for your family to reach other families, to your grandkids, to your brothers and sisters, and people at work, and everywhere you go, the gospel can affect the hardest heart. We heard that in the song today. It don't matter how hard the heart is, it can be changed. I'm proof of it. I was nothing but a drug dealer. But God would give me an opportunity. 19 years ago. I've never touched drugs ever again.
Thank God. Thank you, Lord.
I've never smoked weed ever again. I never smoked cigarettes ever again. I never dipped Copenhagen ever again. I stopped cussing. I was a professional cusser. I was. I somehow took pride in that. I was so delusional. I took pride in that. Not around my mom, because she wore my mouth out with soap. If she wasn't around, I did. I remember one time I did. I did cuss her from her. She washed my mouth out with Dawn dishwashing liquid. It worked. God can affect your life. Affect somebody else. Affect somebody else's life. Not sure how we're going to end it.
Well, I just have one thing to say. I need to backtrack. I wanted to clarify the only reason those carpenters were sweaty, because I didn't see them at the beginning of the day. I saw them at the end of the day. They're all precious. They're all, everyone precious. But Brother Steve, I understand what you're saying. We've got to be relevant and engaging and authentic and life-giving farmers. We have a job to do, and if we don't do it, there's no one else going to do it. I hope what we've talked about sparks something in you that says, I don't have to be afraid. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I can go forth, I've got something to say, because people want to hear it. People do want to hear it.
Absolutely. And I've brought some extra cards. If you would like one of these cards, I would love to give you one. They're absolutely free. And they work. They sure do. And if you'd like to have one, just... They're here. All you got to do is grab one. I believe, I don't know exactly how we should end it, but I do know that we're going to fixing to start a witnessing team.
Yes.
And we want you to be a part of that. And you can be. If you want to know more about being a witness, our pastors have wanted us to start this team and get as many people involved in this as we can, so that we can go out and compel people to come. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into the highways and the byways. Compel them to come. Compel them to come into God's house.
Can I just throw one more thing in, since this is kind of a table talk? Not that I need the last word. But when you said something about moving in to the supernatural things, you know, the disciples didn't move into those supernatural things sitting in the church. It was when they went out on the street, is when it was in the going that God equipped them to meet the need and to do what needed to be done.
Absolutely.
So that's when we're going to see this thing revived.
Absolutely.
Pastor Mike?
Give him a hand clap. That's awesome.